One, two. What's up, y'all? My name is Ian Edwards, and welcome to the Soccer Comic Rant. If you're listening to this, you could also be listening to this podcast at allthingscomedy.com, SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, Libsyn, Google, all over iTunes. I might have repeated that. So, iTunes. I'd like to give a shout out to our sponsor, OnTheVolleyApparel.com. You go to OnTheVolleyApparel.com and they have soccer gear. And they have hoodies, t-shirts, sweatshirts, tank tops, and ladies and men's. And you go there, they have hip-hop logos combined with soccer logos to make some of the dopest visuals on the front of a shirt or sweatshirt or t-shirt or hoodie that you will find. And when you wear these items, people will compliment you. Like everywhere I go, when I rock some On The Volley apparel, people y'all go, yo, where did you get that? And I just tell them, onthevolleyapparel.com. And use my promo code, Comic Rant, to get 20% off. So what's up, y'all? It's Ian. And it's week 23, the premiership season. And everybody played. And yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. So let's just start with the top of the table and go from there. So Liverpool, this weekend, they played Crystal Palace. And this game was no joke. Crystal Palace actually scoffed first. And the game was at Anfield. All right, Crystal Palace, you've upset some people, especially in December. And is Liverpool going to be a new top scalp that you're about to take? And then I think Liverpool pulled ahead 2-1 when Salah got the first one. But then Crystal Palace came back and tied it up, and it was 2-2 for a minute. And you're like, oh, shit. It was like an old school Liverpool game when Klopp first took over, when it felt like Liverpool didn't know how to defend yet. They just knew how to score, and the other team would score too. So it'd just be one of those firefight games, one of them old school, like Kevin Keegan, Newcastle joints. But yeah, it was a pretty exciting game. Ended up being 4-3. Liverpool eventually pulled it off. James Milner got a red card. So at one point in the game, Liverpool was down a man, but still managed at that point to pull ahead by, and they went up 4-2, and then Crystal Palace got the extra goal. But Salah had a good game, scored 2. Firmino put one to the right of the keeper, could not reach it. And Sadio Mane got one. I was just looking at some of the stats, so I just got distracted by that. I was just thinking about the the goal. Who scored this goal? I can't remember. I'd have to watch the thing over. But yeah, it was a great match. But Liverpool got the 3 points, stayed with their 4 point, was 7 point at that point, advantage at the top of the table until Man City played the next day. But Liverpool had to win this, and Crystal Palace can be a dangerous team. They pulled off a few upsets in the recent weeks, and you know, they come to play the big boys. Crystal Palace should play other teams the way they play Liverpool and Man City and some of the teams that they've upset. But Man City gets, Liverpool gets the win, and they get to stay 4 points ahead of their closest rivals in the table right now, Man City. And go to Man City, they are second. They have 56 points. They are 4 points behind the 60-point Liverpool, 23 games in. And Liverpool has to be really careful, because if they don't keep this lead and let Man City even tie them, Man City will beat them on goal difference. Man City has scored 60 goals and let 17 in. They have a plus 45 goal difference. And Liverpool's goal difference ain't that bad. They've scored 54, let in 13, so they've let in even less. Their defense is better, and they have a plus 41. So their Liverpool trails Man City by 4 goals in the goal plus category, the same amount of goals that they lead them by in points, that Liverpool leads Man City by in points. And Man City, they played Huddersfield, and it was like a walk in the park. They could have just walked out there, played music. I mean, they had to do a little bit of work in the first half because Huddersfield, of course, ain't just going to lay down and let them have a picnic, you know, on their field. But in the end, that's what ended up happening. You know, Man City just came through in their River Plate-looking ugly uniforms. I mean, God, I know you have to get a different uniform that nobody has. Everybody, every team has one of these, or most of them do. Where you get a color or a set of colors that don't normally fit your team colors, so that if there's going to be a uniform clash that day, you could pull these out. But Jesus Christ, I thought I was watching a South American team play. And yeah. I wonder if anybody bought, what the sales on that Man City kit is like. Either way, they won. They beat Huddersfield 3-0. And Sterling should have had a penalty in the first half. He was definitely brought down. No contact was made with the ball. And I don't know what was wrong with the linesman's eyes, especially, and the refs. They have, must have matching blind eyes, because that was a penalty. But later on, Sterling got the second goal of the game. Anyway, nice header. It was a precise header too, a power header, like a diving header. You know, something that is, you know, he's not known for scoring with his head. Danilo scored one off a deflection, but great shot. I've seen him, he scored last year in a game and won a game with that shot. But he was playing, what was he playing? He was playing left back at the time. Yeah, was he playing left this time? He's playing, yeah, left. And Man City, man, they keep, they're within breathing on the neck distance of Liverpool. 4 points back, crushing Huddersfield and their little dreams. Like, Man City was out there picnicking the shit. You know, ordering, tapping their wine glasses, yelling at the Huddersfield defenders, bring me another goal, peasant. You know? And, but, you know, as expected, Man City did what they did. And Spurs, wow. Spurs are third. They have 51 points, but they are barely third. I mean, they are so banged up right now. Kane is out till March. Son is in Asia playing in the Asia Cup. So just he's gone. And Lucas Moura's injured. And then they just lost Dele Alli for maybe a few weeks. And this, so they beat Fulham in overtime. Well, extra time. Like, they first, all the goals were scored by Spurs players. There's a lot going on here. So they play Llorente in place of Kane. He's injured. And Llorente, I forgot he was on the team. That's how I remembered he was on the team last week when they took him off. They dusted him off, blew the dust out, and put oil in the creaks in his shoulders, knees, and ankles so that he could move them and warm them up and put him out to play. And then he plays this week, and he's never really done anything for Spurs. And he gets in this game because they have all these injuries and they need a player, and he scores an own goal. Like, that has got to be the craziest thing. Like, I've seen that happen to players. I think it happened to Vermaelen when he moved to Barca. And there was another player, a defender that was constantly injured, that moved to Real Madrid. And then he went to Real Madrid, and then he was injured. And then when he did play a game, finally, he scored an own goal. I can't remember his name right now, but he was a British defender. He was always injured. And look, man, what, you know, Dele Alli and Winks saved Llorente's life. Because I'm sure Pochettino would have tried to have this dude fragged. And so in the third minute of overtime, Harry Winks, the shortest dude on the pitch. Forget being the shortest dude at the pitch. He's the shortest dude at an elementary school of kids. That's how short he is. Heads the ball in the net, off a cross. And yeah, Spurs win this one, barely. So they maintain third place, and they're kind of still in this race. And the funny thing is they won. They're still in the race, but they are more in a race for staying in the top four than they are in a race for winning the league, because with their injuries, they've lost a lot of manpower, and that manpower creates steam, and that steam powers Spurs. And I don't know how. I think they should definitely do something in the transfer window. If it can be done, if there's ever time to spend money, Levy, spend it now. Because with Man U heating up the way they are, and after the cursing out that Sarri gave his players, and Arsenal finding some balls somewhere in a locker, and everybody trying it on and playing against Chelsea the way they did on Sunday, like, you are in jeopardy of sliding possibly to six. So this is going to be a difficult period for Spurs. It's going to be hard, and I'm going to enjoy it a lot. So Spurs is third with 51 points for now. Chelsea's fourth. They have 47 points. And the reason why they have 47 points, the same amount of points they had last week, is because this week they lost to Arsenal 2-0. Arsenal came out in this game and just put it to them. It's just like, all of a sudden, you know, Arsenal lost last week, right? Let's see what happened to Arsenal last week. Make sure I got this right. Arsenal lost last week to West Ham, and they were fired up to make amends for that loss, and they had to play Chelsea this week, and Chelsea just got in the way of a team that was trying to make up. They just had more of a reason to want to win this match. First of all, I think Chelsea was their first or second loss of this season, and I also think that Chelsea was overconfident because they saw Arsenal lose to West Ham, and they see that Arsenal season is kind of wonky, and I just felt the Chelsea players came out just overconfident, and Arsenal players just came out hungry, and they wanted this 3 points more, and they took it. They took it from them in the first half. Chelsea did better in the second half, but they could not get those goals back. And good game for Emery. He coached his boys up after not coaching them up the week before against West Ham. And Chelsea, after beating Newcastle 2-1 last week, got nada this week. And then after the game, Sarri came out, made a speech that could have destroyed his relationship with his players. It could, or it could cement it and improve it and reinforce it and make the team play for him harder. But he said some harsh things. Like, I know he didn't say it. Now, he kind of said it. he made a speech through his translator. But I still think he said he wanted the translator to say it because his English is not that great and he wanted to be clear. But he may have still overstated what he wanted to state in Italian. I'm going to paraphrase that. He basically said that his team today came out with the wrong mentality, which is correct. And that's where they lost the game, on their lack of determination and desire and mentality. And he also said that the players in his team, I guess he's been trying to wind them up and prepare them for the season, and he feels like they don't have it in them naturally what it takes to be championship players. He said, and that's where I think he might have went too far. Like insinuating that your players don't have it at all when there's World Cup players, winners on your team, and just a decorated squad of players who've won shit before. So you have, they've won stuff more than once. Some of them have won the World Cup and the league. Conte's won the league 3 times and has a World Cup. It's been to the Euros finals. So I think what the issue is here with Sarri is, like, and he thought that this Chelsea team was going to do better this year than it's doing now. I think when he got the job, he's like, this team could win the league. And now he sees that it's not going to happen. That's why he went on his play in on his players like this. Like, he didn't tell us when he got here that he thought he's going to win the league. But I think less than deep down that he thought he could win the league, and now he's realizing that he can't. And his expectations have been dashed. And it's frustrating him to the point that he made this speech that may have lost him the team. So that's another reason why this has been a good week for Man U, with the injuries to Spurs and Sarri making the speech that could possibly make him lose touch with his team. Because, listen, this team hasn't been bad. It's a tough league, you know? There's a Liverpool in this league. There's a Man City in this league. There's a Spurs in this league. It's Man U was supposed to be doing better. Like, Arsenal has a good coach. There's some good teams in the league. And even the bad, or the teams in the table that are below Man U, they're difficult. Wolves is difficult. Watford is difficult. You know, Leicester will give you a run any day. Like, West Ham are getting better. Everton might show up sometimes. And then even lower in the table, now Southampton has a good coach. You know, this ain't no, you know. And here's the thing. Pep is a way better coach than Sarri. And when Pep came here in his first year, he didn't win. And I think if you match up Pep's first 23 games, the points he got from those games, and Chelsea now with Sarri, it's about the same amount of points. And it's like, for Sarri to be so hard on his players in his first season, where he has to get to know the league and learn some things himself, and to shit on his players like that, I mean, in public, because you probably do have to tell him this in private. Like, hey, man, y'all got to get your shit together. But also tell him how, you know, which he kind of did too. So I just think he had an expectation that his team is not ready to meet, because he has to get them into the system that has never really won him anything anywhere. You know, The thing about Sarri in his system is that he's an unassuming guy who was, I think, a banker who ended up coaching some teams, made it to Napoli, and Napoli made some noise in the Serie A, but they never won anything. Definitely can coach, develop some exciting football, but it's never won anything. And now you want these Chelsea players to be at the top of the league And it's like, you all both got some shit to do. You need to get more of your own players in this system. And you need to give the players some time to acclimate to your possession ball game that you play. And you have to be patient. Like, Pep had to be patient. You're not better than Pep, so you're not going to do better than Pep in your first year in the Premier League. So you can't be frustrated. You have to give your players until next season to really judge what you're doing, if they get it, you know? So maybe the speech is unnecessary. Maybe it'll work. I know Chelsea fans, they like Sarri, and they feel like the speech will not affect the players and how they feel about him, that they feel like Sarri's a straightforward guy. And so he's not the guy that curses out his players all the time. He believes in fun and the players enjoying the football. So this is just an instance that they, you know, might accept, as opposed to be like, fuck this guy. Because as everybody knows, and as pundits have said, these same players have won the league and also gotten rid or gotten their coach fired the season after they won the league. The same bunch of guys. So, a lot of them, enough of them. So, we'll see the negative or positive or neutral effect of Sarri's speech in the next few weeks, based on how Chelsea plays. So they're fourth for now. They have 47 points. And let's see if Sarri shot himself in the foot. And they, like I said before, you lost to Arsenal. And Arsenal needed to win this. They're in fifth. They have 44 points. If they lost, they were going to slip behind Man United. They couldn't afford it. And the stakes were more for them, you know? Stakes were, if you had the edge on, like, what do they call it in movies? Stakes. They call it stakes. Like, what are the stakes? Like, all that entire defensive midfield of Arsenal had to prove itself, because they've had some embarrassing outings. Arsenal against Toretta, or whatever the Uruguayan, they're just embarrassing. Xhaka, just embarrassing shit has happened to him out there. And I like the way Emery set the team up. And he set Ramsey in mosquito mode and told him to just bother the shit out of Jorginho and just buzz in his ear the entire time. You know how hard it is to write or do anything with a mosquito and its impending blood-sucking, stinging bite just within earshot? And that's what Ramsey did. He threw him off. And again, Sarri didn't make any adjustments. You know, they did play better in the second half, but Arsenal already had the two and they held on. They did what they had to do. So, you know, again, Arsenal is being coached. They're learning a new system. And Emery does not have all the players that he wants. You know, Ozil is on the bench now. But he's definitely putting his imprint on this team. And he's making some tough decisions and doing what he wants the way he wants. And the board is letting him do it. And luckily, he won this game. So now he gets to do more of what he wants to do, even if it is sit somebody like Ozil. And then we'll see what happens for Arsenal in the transfer window, but they do need a really good defensive midfielder or two. And that's their issue. And but they got the scorers, which I mentioned last week. I said Arsenal has scorers, Chelsea doesn't. And that's another thing. Sorry, just chill. Like, if you had a scorer, you'd have at least 5 more points and be second or third in a table and well within range of Liverpool. So Morata did not work out. Didn't work out for Conte. He's not working out for you. You're not going to give him a chance. You have to play Hazard out of position, and this is the last year you're probably going to have Hazard. So this Chelsea team is going to be Hazardless last next year. And how is that going to look? Are they going to be better? Like, Liverpool got rid of Coutinho and somehow got better. So you got to hope that next year when you lose Hazard to Real Madrid, that you can improve your team. And I don't know what guy you're going to find to do that. You're going to bring through the young dude that Bayern Munich is trying to buy, or what are you going to do? But this is also about, I know you had your expectations, but it's also about patience. Like, get a scorer. Now, you're going to get Higuain. You're trying to get him. Wait till Higuain comes. And then if the team does shitty, then you curse him out. But don't lose them before Higuain gets there. So when he gets there, the whole thing is mute. You just got to control your emotions sometimes, unless those emotions actually help. And we won't know until within a few weeks. But it would be a shame if Higuain is ineffective because the players on the team are like, fuck you, coach. And that's another reason that probably, like, they create chances. I was talking to Neil Chakravarty, and I think he said that Chelsea creates the second most amount of chances in the league, but they don't finish them because they don't have any finishers. So, yeah, and I think the players know that. They're not stupid. So it's tough for them to pass the... You can't pass the ball over people to Hazard. He'll never get it. He's short. So it has to be, you know... This just was a tough game. And you don't have a striker. And chill, money. Number six is Man U. We have 44 points. We're tied with Arsenal on points. Let's see. We have what we got in the goals for. In the goals for department. Now we have 46 goals for. Now we have 33 against, but now we're plus 13. So that's good. And let me just look at Chelsea's record. One, you've lost 4, drawn 5, won 14. So, take it easy. Sorry. Decent. Pretty decent. No, it was a tough loss. So I get that, but it's not the worst. Back to Man U. Man U, we are in 6th place. We have 44 points. We won 7 in a row, 6 in the league. And man, we are just fucking rolling. And Brighton Hove, it was a tough game because, you know, Chris Hughton really drills those boys. But they came to town and Pogba did his thing, drew a penalty. And Bong was terrified and just clattered him down from behind. Just didn't want to let Pogba get any space or distance away from him. But he should have let him go because he had a help in the box. Pogba actually ran into that help once you tripped him. But yeah, that sudden move by Pogba terrified the shit out of Bong. And he panicked and just ran as fast behind him as he could and caught him. And Pogba's no fool. Like, if you get stepped on in the box from behind, you go down and take your slow-ass penalty. That takes as long as an hourglass run-up and puts it in the back of the net. And we were up 1, and Rashford just did his thing. Like, man. Like, he scored the same type of goal which he created a few weeks ago for Pogba when he beat the defender and got in the box and crossed, and then Pogba put it in. This time, he beat the defender on the right side, on the left side, and then put it in himself with his right, to the far right. So, you know, I'm here, been just watching a lot of YouTube shows on football, like, you know, Monday Night Football, and just a lot of interviews, and he's been taking like goal scoring practice with Solskjaer, who's a former goal scorer himself. And Solskjaer has been telling him how to calm down and have composure. And those lessons are definitely working. The goal last week against Spurs was calm as fuck. And this week was calm as shit. So, and spending time with your goal scorers and working on that was something I heard Mourinho didn't believe in. He's like, Mourinho was like, if you got it, you got it. So, and that's the thing. It's like, I always felt like players should work on their skill more, because it shows up for you in the middle of the game. It'll just come out of nowhere and you'll do something amazing close to what you've been practicing. And then once you do that a few times, you just grow in confidence and start doing amazing shit. So that's dope. It's good to know that England has another, it's still early in the season, still early in Rashford's career, but I hope he keeps this up and develops into what he potentially can be. Because this kid has got that thing when you want to score, you know what I mean? When you want to put the ball in the back of net, he knows how to run at people. He's got speed, and he's at the right club. And even Brighton Hove came back. They got one. They put us under pressure, but they could not get more than one past us. And we hold on. We take all 3 points, and we stay level with Arsenal, who's in fifth. And next week we play. Well, I think it's the week after we play Burnley. I think there's a League Cup during the week, and on the weekend, I think there's FA Cup games. Let me see who Chelsea play. Liverpool plays Leicester on the 30th, on Wednesday the 30th. Newcastle plays Man City on Tuesday the 29th. It's next week, Tuesday, I think. Tottenham plays Watford next week, Wednesday. Chelsea plays Bournemouth next week, Wednesday. Arsenal plays Cardiff next week, Tuesday. And Man U plays Burnley. And Burnley's heating up. They're getting better. They had a tie this week. I think that they won their last two games, but I hope that doesn't matter to us. We should just keep marching on. And the funny thing, you know, even though Spurs won this week, my question is, if you're Pochettino and inside, even though you're not letting anybody know, and you want the Man U job, right? And you want the Man U job. It must kill you every time Solskjaer wins, because you're like, it's going to be harder to get this job. Now, Pochettino is just in a great position, period. He can use... Sorry. The Man U job to get what he wants out of Levy, whether it be a raise or money for players. Or he could take the Man U job, or he could take the Real Madrid job. Like, there's the top places want him right now. So some people can't get no job. This nigga has one job and a potential two better jobs. So what does he really want to do? I hope he ends up in the best situation for him, and that best situation, I hope. You know, a friend of mine, I was like, I don't want Pochettino. I want us to keep Solskjaer, because he's doing what Solskjaer is doing what Pochettino would be hired to do. And he knows the club more than Pochettino. And Pochettino would have to learn everybody. And Solskjaer already knows. So he fits. He belongs. Like he says in interviews, he's home. But I forgot what I was saying. He said, oh yeah, this is what Neil said. So Neil said that it's a one-time opportunity to get Pochettino. So Man U should get him, because if they don't get him now, if Solskjaer doesn't work out later on down the road, Pochettino will already be with like Real Madrid or another team. And I'm willing to take that risk. But because before, when Man U was talked about, well, we we're going to try to get Zidane. Like, Zidane wouldn't come here. He just won 3 Champions League. And he was home seeing the results of that Man U team under Mourinho. And then you're looking at the team and you're like, oh, those guys have a overpaid squad that can't really pay. Because when you watch Man U under Mourinho, you're like, oh, shit, maybe our squad isn't that good. But now with Solskjaer, you're like, oh, if you're a coach sitting at home and you were on the fence about taking over the Man U job because you felt like our personnel was not up to par, now you know they are up to par. And now we will have more classified candidates to replace Solskjaer if later on they give him the job and then he fails. There'll be people like, oh, those guys can play. And that I'd be worried about my reputation if I was a coach before and taking a Man U job, because I'd be like, I'm picking a bunch of players who can't play. Like, what, you know, this is how full of shit Mourinho is. Like, when he first came to Man U, he shit on Van Gaal. He was like, the players are so negative because of the coach before them, and he has to get them out of this bad mindset that they were in. And it takes a lot of work to get them out of that Van Gaal, like, not being able to play football or no confidence thing. I remember him saying that so many times, and then he didn't really do it. We did play better. We did win some things, but he didn't really do it. And then it was like, oh, I'm going to perform this amazing operation and do this thing because the other guy before damaged them so much, you know? And then you did such a great job of fixing this damage. How come Solskjaer comes in one game and fixes it? 2 games fixes it more. 3 games fixes it more. 7. And Mourinho, come on. Now, I have a few things about Man U to comment. Not really about the game. We won the game. But I saw Danny Higginbottom, I think, ex-player, talking about Man U and Pogba and saying that, you know, Pogba's playing great now, and I'm going to paraphrase, but, you know, does Man United want to put their faith in a guy that a few months ago wasn't performing well, and he might have not been performing well because he's wanted to make the coach look bad? And Danny, I never played professional football, but I know you did. So you making the statement is ridiculous. And the reason why it's ridiculous is because Pogba's doing good now, right? He's getting assists now and he's getting goals because Solskjaer is telling him to go forward. Okay? Now, Mourinho told this nigga to defend. So he defended. Now, when Pogba defended last year, we had the second best defense. So if you get a defender and say, hey, we don't have a forward, so this year you have to play forward, and that defender scores like 9 goals the year that he plays forward, you don't look at the coach who had him the year before when he was a defender and say, this coach underutilized this defender because he scored 9 goals now playing forward and he only scored 2 when he was a defender. No, you get the results in the area where you're told by your coach to focus. So Pogba, everybody who's saying that Pogba is performing great now, don't forget he couldn't go forward or he'd get in trouble. He could do it occasionally, but he had to always stay back. Even the forwards had to stay back. Everybody is scoring more now that Mourinho is gone. The whole system has changed. All right? We have more goals and more assists because we are more attacking. So it's not that the players weren't playing for Mourinho. The players were doing what Mourinho asked them to do. It was a shit system. It was too defensive, and it did not maximize the ability of our players. So blame the coach for having a bad plan and not maximizing our players. Solskjaer, on the other hand, is maximizing our players. So don't blame the players. Congratulate Solskjaer for having the right game plan and using his personnel the way they should be used. And stop looking at and saying, well, this player probably sabotaged this coach. The coach sabotaged himself. All right? I'm sure we've let in less goals now in 7 games than we did in the last 7 games with Mourinho. So even though we're scoring more, we're also defending better. That's how bad and off Mourinho was with this whole squad. And if you know, you're questioning Pogba's character, right? He played at Juventus, won 4 Scudettos, right? Then he came to Man U and we won the Europa League with him and the League Cup and the Charity Shield, right? And then the next season, we came second, right? After finishing out of the Champions League spot seasons before, right? Without him. So we came second with him. Now, it's only in the first 18 games of the season, which in half of them, he played good to decent. Did you can say... You can't question a player's character over 18 games. It's not like it was a 5-year period and he was sabotaging some guy's coaching career over a 5-year period. It was 18 games and he wasn't sabotaging the guy's game. You know, it's not his character. What happened in those games, the first 18 games of the season, or however many they were that Mourinho was there, Mourinho gave the player the wrong direction, and he's given players the wrong directions before and been fired for it. So just look at the facts. Watford didn't win, but got another point, played Burnley, and that's a good point for Burnley to go to Watford, not lose, and get a point, because Watford can definitely beat Burnley. They beat better. They're 7th in the table. They're 33 points. So that's a good draw for Burnley. And I guess it's a good point for Watford, you know? But, you know, they have to be careful, because breathing down their necks right behind them is Wolves. And Wolves had a barn burner against Leicester this weekend and won 4-3, and it's a legit barn burner too. Let me go to it. Wolves versus Leicester, because this is like back and forth scoring. You know, this ain't like the 4-3 where last year, I think it was in the Champions League, where Liverpool played Man City and it gaming it up 4-3, but Man City had lost the game by the time they scored the 3 goals to make the score 4-3. You know, they were blown out. It was an embarrassment. And they just, you know, took all the change out of their pockets and bought 3 lousy goals at the end, so that if you don't remember the game, but you look at the scoreline, you know, you're like, wow, that must have been a great game. No, Liverpool tore them the fuck apart. And they got 3 goals at the end, Man City. This was a legit one. This was a legit one. Diego Jota scored 1 goal first in the 4th minute. And then Damari Gray. And then Ryan Bennett scored 2. So Wolverhampton went up 2. But then Leicester City came back and got 2 goals in a row, one by Damari Gray, and then it was an own goal, which I think they should just give the Leicester City player that goal. He kicked the ball, it ricocheted off the player, went in the net. I mean, looked like a shot to me. I mean, some own goals to me, are not really own goals, you know? Even the own goal with Llorente, like, what was he going to do? Like, as soon as the player in front of him went down, the ball just hit his shin and went in the back of the net. It's like, there's nothing you could do. You can't blame the player for that. But then if the game was 2-2, then it went to 3-2, then it went to 3-3, and then it went to 4-3 in goddamn the third minute of extra time. Last kick of the game, practically. Just a firefight of Wolverhampton, the team that just came up to the Premiership, and they promised to make their presence known. They promised to play attacking football and not be up in the Premiership just trying to hang on for survival. They promised to go at motherfuckers. They promised to go for this thing and try. And they are living their dream. You know? Like, this coach said, we're going to come to the Premiership and we're going to play like we've been in the Premiership, and we're going to try to get a Champions League spot, a Europa League spot. We're not going to act like we ain't never been here before. And so far, you're eighth in the table. You got 32 points. You just beat Leicester 4-3. And it's a, you know, Leicester was a spot ahead of you before this game. So you exchange places. Or you took their, or at least took their place. But Wolverhampton, great game. Thank you for what you're bringing to the Premiership. And teams have to take you serious. And I think teams are taking you serious, and you're still handling your business. And Leicester, man, hot Claude Puel, like, he was already on a hot seat. And even though you're just in ninth now, which is not bad, you know, people want Puel gone, but this is a great game. So, but, you know, Leicester is like full of themselves since they won the league in 2016, and they're not happy with any coach that they got. And they're not going to be happy next week when they have to play Liverpool on Wednesday the 30th at Liverpool. And Liverpool's going to need these points. So, and I think Vardy didn't play, because I think Vardy, let me check Liverpool's lineup. Oh, not Liverpool's lineup. I do this every week. I say the wrong team or name or some shit. That's my style. Fucking up. I don't think Vardy played, because I think he has cards. No, he played. He played. He just didn't have any goals. He had an assist. All right. How could Vardy not have something positive in a Leicester game that ends up being 4-3. So Leicester's ninth. And then West Ham, man, you know, they beat Arsenal last week. And, Bournemouth was like, you ain't going to beat us. Fuck that. We're not sliding down this table no more. You know? No, you bring it. And West Ham went down to Bournemouth to bring it. And Bournemouth poured cold water all over their fire, doused them up, scored two goals, and got all those points. And like, fuck all that bullshit, West Ham. Callum Wilson scored again. Joshua King, those are their scorers. And let's see if Bournemouth can hold on to Callum Wilson. That's the danger. When you're a team like Bournemouth, you have a player like Callum Wilson scoring goals. Let me see how many goals he has this season. 10 goals. So some team's going to want that scoring power. He had 8 goals last year. But, you know, he's coming back from injury. He's getting better. He's got 10 goals in 21 games. One of those games, he was a sub. And, yeah. So, that's the thing. It's like, when you have a good thing and you're a team like Bournemouth, people are going to want it. But let's see if these players stay, you know? And this, let's see if Bournemouth, like, can be good enough to, you know, in their, you know, there's lots of elements to football, and one of them is, like, front office. Let's see what your front office can do to keep this guy. because there's fights on the pitch and off the pitch and in offices all over the sport. It's just a battlefield everywhere. The people behind the scenes in soccer that buy players for people and keep players and make deals and talk to people and do all the hustling, they do not get the credit. Like, we focus on the game on the field, but there's a lot of shit going on, a lot of nuts and bolts, man. There's some people, if they're not good at their job, your team will fall apart. Everton. I mean, they lost to Southampton. And this Southampton coach, Lee, Jesus Christ, is not fucking around. And he does his Klopp impression of celebrating and excitement after the games, man, or whenever his team scores. And Southampton got another win. You know, I would just say enjoy this coach till the end of the season, Lee, because you ain't going to keep him. Ward Prowse scored a long ranger. And Digne from Everton gave him an own goal, trying to stop a goal. So for him, it's like a few own goals this is own goal week. Accidental own goal week. Gylfi Sigurdsson scored one for Everton. But yeah, Marco Silva, crowd is pissed at you too. You know, Everton coach. Shit. To be honest, Everton's new coach might be Southampton's coach right now next year. Because that guy put, you know, you look at that guy coach on the sidelines and celebrating. He's from Borussia, you know, from Germany. And coach would clap and you're like, did Red Bull Leipzig? And you're like, shit, let's get that guy. Then this Marco Silva guy. Like, I believe in this Southampton guy more than I believe in Marco Silva. And this guy's only coached like 8 games probably in the Premiership. So, and I know I might be jumping the gun, but I never really ever believed in Marco Silva. So it's easy for me to feel like somebody after they've only coached 7 games to think that guy's better. Where do we go? So we went to Bournemouth, and now we're doing Brighton Hove. They got 26 points. They're in 13th place. And they lost to Man U. And they put up a Brighton Hove fight. Typical. And I think Brighton Hove is going to survive. They're going to get a point here. They're going to win some games here. And they're going to lose a bunch. But, like, this team is gritty, and they're determined, and they give it all every week. So it was a good battle for us. It's a good challenge for us because we could lose this game under Mourinho or somebody, or even Van Gaal or somebody, or Moyes, but not under Solskjaer. So our players, it's funny, like 7 weeks ago, less than 7 weeks ago, like around 7 weeks ago, a month ago, like I viewed our squad completely different than I viewed them now. Like they're, it's like watching. What turns into a butterfly? Is it a worm? Like, it's like, yeah, it's like that. It's like watching that. And then when it first turns into a butterfly, like, is it really a butterfly? Then it starts flying and see the colors more. And the more I see us turn into a butterfly, the more I believe. Like, I don't believe we're full butterfly yet, but keep turning into a butterfly. Because I like that. I like butterflies, man, you. But Brighton Hove, you're doing good for you. And you got Fulham next week. And Ranieri's squad lost. And we'll get to that earlier. They lost this weekend. But we'll get to that. Crystal Palace is next. They're 4 points behind Brighton Hove. They're in 14th place. They got 22 points. And they lost that strong game to Liverpool. Zaha to Townsend. And yeah, Crystal Palace put up a nice fight, man. Which they do sometimes. And, you know, they're good enough to stay up. It's just, they ain't always going to be pretty. But they're good enough to stay up. Below them is Southampton. It was definitely on the upswing. They have 22 points. They tied with Crystal Palace and they're in 15th place. And in their last five, they've had two losses, one draw, and two wins. Their draw was against Chelsea. That's a good draw for Southampton. Then they beat Leicester. And then they beat Everton. And they're just like, they're being enthusiasmed up the table by their coach, man. And it's pretty good for Southampton because they probably have a crop of like not young new players in their youth system. If that guy could coach them up, Jesus. In 16th place is Burnley. They have 22 points also. There's like three teams on 22 points. And they had a draw, but they won of their last five. They've won three, lost one, and one draw. So Burnley's having a good run, but now they're going to run into Man U in next week. And hopefully it won't be good for them. But Sean Dyche is hopefully right in the ship, and Newcastle hovering above the drowning zone, you know, the deep area of the water. They're treading water, and they beat Newcastle. I mean, Newcastle beat Cardiff 3-0, and bam. And one of the goals was from their defender. What's his name? Scar? A Scar? What is this guy's name? Where he just dribbled from right back through. I would say he dribbled through Cardiff's defense, but what defense? He just dribbled through some people who are on the field wearing Cardiff jerseys and then passed the ball into the low left-hand corner of the net without opposition. Let's just say that. Fabian Scar. And he also got another goal. Ball to thigh, thigh to ball and net. And then Perez scored a one. So I think Benitez will keep this team up. That won't make Newcastle fans happy, but because their owner just keeps getting to get away with murder, making money, not putting it back into the team, and getting that premiership dollar, just getting the bang for his buck for barely staying in the Premier League, and the fans are like suffering. So, but hey, you're the same fans that want to get not always right either. You want to get rid of Pardew when Pardew was good. Cardiff, their heads are underneath water, holding their breath in the relegation zone, 19 points. But still, it's not that bad. Like, there are four teams within range that you have 19, Newcastle has 21. Burnley has 22. Southampton has 22. Crystal Palace has 22. Like, you could, if you knuckle up, you can be amongst those people who are above you and hang with them and get out of this and push one of them down. You know? So it ain't said and done. Cardiff, you still have a chance. Only problem is you play Arsenal next week. Tuesday. That's not easy. So I'd put my money on Arsenal. Games at Arsenal. So you may still be in the relegation zone next week. What up, cuz? Fulham. Three losses in a row. You lost to Tottenham. You had them. You had a point. You had a point. There was a penalty that you should have had on a cross, and a defender got away with pulling Mitrovic to the ground. So that's a penalty. Like, I think a year or two ago when they had the jersey tugging corner rule in effect, in the beginning of the season, they call those, but they just don't call them now. The referees went back to their old ways. Like, the law still says you should give them a penalty, but the refs don't enforce that anymore. And then again, it's tough for the refs to enforce a jersey tugging defender law when players flop so much. So the referee's like, how do I know this guy didn't flop? So sometimes you forwards, they created these rules to help you, but you embellish so much that you're not getting these calls. You go to the ground so easy. Like, if every forward like stood up, every time one of y'all went to the ground, the ref would know that you are legitimately pulled to the ground. But no, you cheat too much. So the ref's like, eh, he cheated. Fuck it. I'm not blowing a whistle. Play on. So Fulham, you had a rough one. You had a rough one with Tottenham. I mean, Winks put that ball in the back of the net. The shortest guy in the field heads the ball into your net in the 93rd minute of the game. He was just about to walk off with a point that you needed to just climb a little bit closer to get some air above the water that you're submerged in. And you sunk back down. You took another gulp of water in your lungs and you sunk back down. Now you got Brighton Hove, who, man, they're going to try to give you the work. They definitely see you guys as 3 points, and we'll treat you as such next week, Tuesday, the 29th. Huddersfield at the bottom of the table, man. Of their last five games, they had 4 losses, 1 draw. Who did you draw against? Cardiff. Jesus. You lost to Man City, which is expected. Like, this was not going to be a good week for you at all. And then you play Everton, who usually rises to the occasion when they're playing teams like Huddersfield. So, and they just had such a loss to Southampton. They're going to have to come and get these points from your Huddersfield. But they give Huddersfield fans a credit. They were enjoying the game. So there's a lot of transfer rumors. Chelsea got rid of Morata. He got loaned to Atletico Madrid. I don't know why Atletico Madrid would need another forward, because they have Reece Griezmann and Diego Costa, but now they got Morata too. And Higuain is coming on loan to Chelsea. Like, those are the big ones. Manu, there's so many rumors flying about the Konoboly one, the Napoli defender. So we may get him now. It might be too big a deal to get done. De Gea wants a raise before he signs his new contract. He wants to be the highest paid player. He's also the player that's been there, I think, pretty much the longest. He's been there a minute, and he's helped us through all our bad times. So I don't know if we should get paid more than Pogba. Well, he wants to get paid more than Sanchez, who's not even playing, starting, or playing. So he wants that. He's like, that guy is getting paid more than me to not play. I need to get paid more than him because I'm playing. And there's other rumors and shit. Let me check. So I looked some up earlier. One of these rumors, transfer rumors. There's just not any huge ones. Huddersfield did appoint Jan Seward to succeed David Wagner. And Jan Seward used to be the coach of Borussia Dortmund. So there's a lot of Borussia Dortmund or Bundesliga coaches coming in to the league. This guy's only 36 years old. And he was a coach of Borussia Dortmund's second team. So now he's going to be in the Premiership. 36 is young, man. There's players playing that are older than you. Shit, Peter Cech, even though doesn't play for Huddersfield, is old as this guy. Or maybe older. Around the same age. So that's pretty young. So we'll see if he works out. I don't know Why him? Wagner had the same position at Dortmund before joining Huddersfield in 2015. So maybe that's why him. Then why didn't you just keep Wagner? So he'll be coaching the game against Everton on January 29th. It's a weird move. Should just keep Wagner. But it's crazy that Huddersfield only has 11 points. This team, shit, they had 11 points last year after probably 5 games. And to be like 23 games in and only have 11 points is really pretty bananas. It's nothing. But anyway, everyone, that's the Premier League for this week. I think the FA Cup will be played. FA Cup games will be played on the weekend. Midweek, there's going to be League Cup games. So it's going to be more football. Also, I'm a writer on co-producer on Crashing. It's funny. I couldn't remember what my title was. So on Instagram, I wrote producer. Then I figured out that it was co-producer. So I changed it back. So I wasn't trying to like advance my credit. I just forgot. But I'm a co-producer on Crashing, starring Pete Holmes, executive produced by Judd Apatow. It's on HBO, third season. Just started airing this Sunday. So go to HBO Now or HBO Go or just HBO and watch it. And it's a fun room working on that show. Takes me 1 hour to drive to the west side every morning to ride on that show. It's a 7-mile ride that takes an hour, but it's fun when you get there. So check out the show Crashing, starring Pete Holmes. And if you want, grab my album, 100% Half-Assed. It's on iTunes. It's at CD Baby. It's at wherever you can hear shit. All those places that you can hear shit, it's there. All right? Love you. Have a great week. Happy Martin Luther King Day. Glad he existed. He did his thing. He lived it. May we all live it. Love y'all. One.